On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we chat about an article entitled 15 Lessons I've Learned from Being Fat and Gay. Do we agree with these lessons? Jeff's Moving, Tumblr Picks, and more. COL 225 starts now. Sometime in August 2013, I'm Jeff, and I'm just being really, really lazy today. I should be a little bit more busy. Anyways, that's...
Me not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
I'm Eric.
It must be my sexuality, because I am so very sexual.
I'm Gary.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl!
That would make me Robert.
Well, when you're from Pittsburgh, you have to do something.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Adventure Terminal and Lake, episode number 225, and I'm being as lazy as possible for as long as possible. Although after this shit's done, I've got to go pick up my birthday present from my brother so that I make sure I have it, so that when I move over into my new apartment on Tuesday, that I can then hang out, because I will not have any internet. And watch the Blu-rays that he sent me. He didn't tell me which ones. He just said that I should have received some Blu-rays on Wednesday. But I didn't go check my mail on Thursday when it was off.
So, the Miss America pageant, 1996 to 1998.
Yay! Well, I'm sure it's probably like Man of Steel that just came out on Blu-ray, right? Maybe. I'm hoping for Man of Steel and Iron Man, so... Iron Man 3, I should say, because I haven't, well, I've seen Man of Steel, but I haven't seen Man of Steel 3, or Iron Man 3. There is no Man of Steel 3.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the new, the Man of Steel sequel, they're going to call World's Finest. What?
That would be an F title.
It'd be appropriate.
No, my idea thought was after the casting of the Batman, they may not have a Man of Steel 3 at all.
That's true.
There's been a lot of drama about that. I don't care, but there's been a lot of drama.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because I've seen all the reactions to Ben Affleck, and I'm like,
good
going,
God.
But the thing is, Patton Oswalt wrote a really great post on Facebook, basically calling everybody out for bitching about it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, actors with long careers make bad movies. You know, it's going to happen. The law of averages. And so he had a really interesting post, and I was just like, because I like Ben Affleck. I like him as an actor. I think he's I've seen Argo finally. I loved Argo. So he's a decent actor. He's a decent director. And you know what? The thing is that every actor has ups and downs. Yes, he made Geely. Yes, he made Jersey Girl. Yes, he made Daredevil.
He was also in Dogma.
He's also in Dogma.
He was also in Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Which, well, he played second banana in Chasing Amy.
And Mallrats.
I mean, he was there.
And Mallrats. But, you know, the thing is that he's got enough ability to carry a movie successfully.
And I have no problem with with Ben Affleck, because, you know, I loved him in The Town, which he didn't just play a character, and he also directed, also Slade. Anyways, I think he's a great actor and everything. The only problem I have with this is he's Daredevil.
Hey.
I have this whole problem with the Cole cross-pollination thing. Now, don't get me wrong, we also have Ryan Reynolds, who's Hal Jordan, and he's also
oh god, that Deadpool. Was a shit tack there.
Deadpool, yeah. So, I mean, we do have that.
Chris Evans as Human Torch and as Captain America.
Oh, good point.
Well, they're relaunching Fantastic Four anyway, yeah. So.
Shocker.
Yeah, so they're probably.
Yeah, oh, no, well, I know the actress that they cast is Sue Storm, but the actor that they potentially might cast is Johnny. I'm loving this. They're going way out of the box here. They're making Johnny Black.
Interesting.
Which is fine.
I'm like, I know I have no problem with it. I'm like going, that's really cool.
Michael B. Jordan was considered to play Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Allison Williams auditioned for the role of Susan Storm. That was the only trivia that's available for The Fantastic Four for 2015.
Yeah. Which means that they'll announce the cast about a year before they start production.
This might sound weird, but I think looking at a picture of Michael B. Jordan on IMDb, I could see him as a human torch, a black human torch.
And
he just couldn't be a Storm. That's the problem. He can't be Johnny Storm. Maybe he was just adopted.
Oh God, bless it.
or
multicultural blended family.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
I'm trying to say that Susan is the older sibling. So Johnny is the younger one.
He's the illegitimate son of Dr. Storm.
Depends on who they get to play Franklin. Or no, not Franklin. That's Sue's husband. Good Lord, Robert. Remember
Franklin is Sue's son.
Anywho.
Richards.
Reed. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we also have Ben Grimm.
Yay.
And I don't think we have anybody for him yet.
Who was played by the awesome Michael Chiklis.
Yay.
He was the best part of that whole movie. I'm sorry.
For him from the commish. And he was also S.H.I.E.L.D. and such. But anyways. Yes.
Okay, so we've got way off topic.
Tangent. Okay, anyways, where were we? Say. So besides my move this week, which is probably going to be complete and utter disaster, but that's another matter altogether. What's going on?
Gary?
So besides the fact that I felt the disturbance in the comic geek force, as you just discussed, because my frickin' Facebook blew up.
Yeah.
And by blew up, I mean, wow. I didn't know how many people I knew that had a strong opinion about that thing. But now I know. I worked a hell of a lot this week, and I just want to vent for a quick second about the fact that I am tired of people holding other people accountable for their job, yet the people that really should be held accountable don't get held accountable.
Oh, A to the fucking man.
Because... I had a project that was supposed to take a couple weeks to get done, and when I started working on it, I didn't have systems access. So we put in the service desk request, or as we call them, SDRs. So we put in the SDRs, and they sit for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, the one department gets on me because they're waiting for the project. They're like, when's everybody going to be trained? I'm like, well, they're not. They kept checking like every 2 or 3 days, and I kept telling them, status has not changed. Status has not changed. Status has not changed. You will get an update when things have changed. Like, and I was getting really irritated. So magically, come Wednesday of this week, and everyone's supposed to be trained a week later, by next Wednesday, it starts escalating.
Oh.
As of Thursday, it escalated so far that two vice presidents of two divisions got involved.
Oh, God. Wow.
Because these SDRs weren't touched. Now, mind you, we have our own SDRs that we handle, and we are required to get them completed in 24 hours, or all hell breaks loose.
Right.
So this is where my manager had a conniption and was like, wait, we have to have ours done in a day, but yours can sit for weeks and that's okay. Yeah. What the fuck's that about?
WTF.
Right.
So needless to say, finally, as of 6 p.m. on Thursday, my time, shit sort of got figured out. The SDRs are still not fixed, but I got systems access. Hence, I worked until 12:30 Saturday morning because I spent from 8 in the morning till 12:30. 6:30 in the next morning working.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Jesus.
For those that don't know, I do training development. So I basically put together the training packages for the employees on how to learn things. And the thing is that we're doing a new web system feature thing that goes live on Friday, and over 2,000 employees have to know about it.
Wow.
Ahead of time. So, yeah. So because I couldn't have the access to show what the damn thing looks like and do the cute little video animation stuff. So that's what I ended up working on Friday. It looks like a Frankenstein's bitch. I kind of don't care because I didn't have the proper time to do it. I was like, you know what? It's just going to look like this.
It's done, yeah. Bitches.
So, and the funny thing is that I was working on it. I was supposed to go to Pittsburgh Friday night to have dinner with my best friend who's up from North Carolina. That did not happen.
Oh, boobs.
So, yeah, no. Well, the funny thing is that of course, nobody else was working. I'm the only fucker that's working that late on a Friday. So then I try to load it to send it. We were not going to send it to all the employees. We were going to send it to just a batch. Couldn't send it to a batch because the system kept erroring out. I was like, what the hell? So I reached out to my manager, who apparently, no offense, love, was probably out at a bar or a party.
Nice.
Because they weren't answering texts, and I was like, you need to read your messages because you need to tell me what to do. Because I was at the point where I was about ready to just like walk away, shut the computer down, and be like, y'all can go to hell, and I'll deal with this on another day. So anyways, I get, well, just can't we push it to everybody? And I was like, sure we can. So 2,134 people got assigned training at about midnight Friday night.
Wow.
Nice. So now, throughout the course of the weekend, I've been checking to make sure that like things aren't blowing up with that, because I never really want to release on the weekend, because then, you know, who knows what's going to happen when I'm away. So yesterday, I did get to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And awesome. I got to go to a pool party for the club, which was nice, and I met a lot of people, and it was very confusing because everyone kept saying, we're surprised you're here. And I was like, okay. Now, granted, I haven't been to Pittsburgh much this year compared to the past 14 years.
Wait, right. Did you just say
Pittsburgh? Well, when you're from Pittsburgh, you have to do something.
Nice.
I thought it was appropriate.
So,
anyways.
Yes, well, having been on the board and very active with the club, and this year, not being on the board, I don't go as much. So consequently, I went to the pool party. But the reason everyone kept saying that is because it was Pride in Erie yesterday.
Oh.
So everybody was confused why I'm at Pittsburgh instead of at Pride. And apparently a bus full of people came from Pittsburgh up to Erie for our Pride. And I was like, well, we do two Pride things. We do a picnic in June, and then we do the rally and the march in August. Okay. And I'm not really involved in the march and the parade,
so you
rally thing.
Go.
Right.
And I'm like, and I'm going to go to a pool party where there's a pool and a hot tub and food and booze and people I want to see and people I want to look at. So, because it's a bear pool party. Hello.
There you go.
So there consequently, anyways.
I went to gawk at.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyways, so I had a good time, and then I did get to meet up with my friend who's from North Carolina, and we went to a place called Franktuary.
Ooh.
Which is a fun. They started as a food truck, and then they opened a place in a church downtown, and now they have a new location, and it's artisanal hot dogs, for lack of a better reference.
Oh.
Okay.
So you can get like grass-fed New Zealand hot dogs and like ones they make on premises every day. And anyways.
Huh. Cool.
It's very cool. And one of the big side dishes that they do that I'm a fanatic for is poutine.
Ooh.
So for those of you that don't know what poutine is, it's basically French fries with beef gravy and cheese curds.
I don't get it.
No, I want to try it one time.
I don't get it.
I want to try it one time. Just once.
Yeah. I want to try it just once.
Because, you know, when you look at the Evil Wiener's killer fries, it looks absolutely disgusting. But is the greatest thing ever.
Huh. No, I'm all for eating food that looks disgusting but is actually very good. I've done that quite a few times. You know, there's been dishes that friends have made, and they're like, I know it looks like shit, but just try it. And I understand that. Poutine to me is just like, no. Just no.
It's carbs and fat. That's all it
is. No, don't get me wrong. I'm a carb guy. You're preaching to the choir on carbs. I don't know, for whatever reason, I look at it and I go, I just don't get it. There are just certain foods. I do not understand the draw to them. You know, I'm like going, okay, French fries, good. Cheese, good. Beef gravy, awesome. Together, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway.
Just like some men in life, don't knock them until you try it.
Yeah.
Very true.
So anyways, got to have dinner, then went out for bar night. Lo and behold, my friend joined me from North Carolina for a little bit, which, by the way, I took a lesbian to a bare leather bar. That was fun. The guy at the door says to her, because I got in for free because I'm a member of the club, paid for her cover. The guy says, you're welcome to the bar. You can only go anywhere you want on the first floor. The downstairs is off limits because the downstairs is the leather bar portion of things, which they don't really enforce the leather code. However, there are not very well lit spaces. So there was a reason. Oh, and there's also no women's restroom downstairs. So anyways, we had a good time at the bar. And lo and behold, I ran into people I know from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who are on their way to the softball national tournaments in D.C.
Nice.
Which is about to start next week. So my trip to Pittsburgh was good. It was great to get out and to go see people I hadn't seen in a while. And as fate and serendipity pulled together, I was able to see people from across the nation.
Yay.
So despite all the bullshit with work, I had a good one day off, so to speak.
Yay.
Awesome. Yay.
And that's what the fuck's going on with me. And Mr. Damon, how about you?
Well, I missed the podcast last week.
You did.
Yes. Because I was down in, or up, well, for me down, across, in Louisville visiting my mom. It was a good time visiting Louisville. It was also time for a kind of frank discussion. We talked about my mother passing possibly and what she's got set up and situated for me and my brother in the case that she passes. And she was asking some very, like I said, very frank questions about what she wants to have happen and things like that when it occurs. So it was good to have that time with her. It was awkward given the time,
right?
But this is for those who didn't see my Facebook, I go down usually once a month, usually in August, to see my mother and see my parents on the anniversary of my sister's birthday, who passed away in 2007.
Right.
So that on top of, oh, mom's talking about what she's going to do when she dies, was kind of a little awkward.
Kind of made for an awkward weekend.
Yeah, it was quite awkward, very awkward. But it's one of those things I think that needs to happen. So it was good seeing her. I didn't really get to see a whole lot of friends or go out or do anything fun that I would have liked to have done. But overall, the trip, I think, was successful in the part of one of the main reasons I go down. So,
right.
Really fun time, really good time, and I'm glad to be back.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, glad you had. I'm sorry it was awkward, Damon.
Well, but that happens.
Those conversations are never fun.
No. Those conversations are awkward.
No, yeah. I've had that conversation a couple of times this last year because of mom, and it's not easy to get through, but you know. You do it because you love them and because you want to make them happy and also because you need to know.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
Alrighty.
So. Oh, this means I'm next.
Yes, but we got some special for you. If I can find it.
Yes, sir. Did I do that?
So what did you do?
I set up the cue, Jeff, and you just failed.
Uh-oh.
Anyway. Okay, so this goes to Robert's inability to read correctly sometimes.
Uh-oh.
I've been reading probably since I was 3. And every once in a while, the English language escapes me. So our schedule at work comes out every 2 weeks, which makes it really convenient for planning stuff. But what happened is I wrote my schedule down 2 weeks ago for last week and kind of did it in a hurry and thought I had, you know, they'd reduced hours. And I was like, great, crap. I thought I had 4 days off. So cut to 2 weeks later, last week, I kind of had a shit week. It was like, okay, I just need to get to these 2 days off in a row. You know, I just need to get to there. You know, I'll be good if I get there. And I left work Tuesday. No, I left work Wednesday night. And I was just like, okay, bitches, see you later. And didn't go into work on Wednesday. Actually, I had a really nice Wednesday. Then got up on Thursday. And my cell phone rang and it was work. I'm like, I'm ignoring that. I'm really ignoring that. And so finally, the person who called left a message and I picked it up and it's like, you know, hi, Robert. I just wanted to make sure you're okay because you didn't show up to work last night.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I called back and I'm like, what do you mean I didn't show up to work last night? I wasn't scheduled to be there. She's like, yes, you were. I was like, no. Double check. And so Shelly, who called me, is the store operator, and she's like, yeah, you were supposed to be here 4 to 11:30. It's like,
uh-oh.
So,
oh no.
Yeah, that was like, and I knew exactly what I had done when she told me that. Okay, when I figured out that I had scheduled myself, that I wrote down my schedule wrong, I knew exactly what I had done. What I had done was, instead of double checking my schedule like I normally do, I wrote it down, thought I got Wednesday wrong, scratched it out, and then because Wednesday and Friday were the same schedule, they were the same time both days. So I thought, oh, I've got that wrong. I'm working Friday this time instead of Wednesday this time. Awesome, I have these 2 days off. Okay. Didn't even double check.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. And I was just like, but I'm lucky. I don't, they only really care if you've like constantly no calling, no showing, if you're constantly, you know, calling out, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and for me, I'm lucky. I call out maybe once every 6 months.
Gotcha.
If that, and I haven't done a no-call, no-show in years. So I'm like looking at this going, yeah, I'm fine. And I apologize to everybody. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Even my boss was like, that's not like Robert. Robert doesn't do that. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's just occasionally my brain takes a left turn someplace where it shouldn't. Although when I first started working for Target, I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, I had started work in July. By that November, something was going on inside my head. The entire month of November, I was late by an hour every single day. We don't know why. I don't know why. And I was just, and my boss at the time was just like, look, Robert, you're late. I know you're going to be here, but I also know you're going to be late. I'm like, why didn't somebody say, this is like at the end of November, like, why didn't somebody say something to me about this earlier? You know, not let it go on for 4 fucking weeks. It's like, it just wasn't that big of a deal. I'm like, now it's a big of a deal because now you're having to talk to me and do things like write me up. And I don't want you to do that. so, yeah, but I was just like, yeah, I was like, great. That's just the cap on a perfectly craptacular week. I'm like, I'm so over this week. And now this next week, I work 6 days in a row. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Okay, anyway. So let's move on from my facepalm moment.
you know, I had a talking to moment at when I was working at Shopko. So I was pretty out. So everybody knew I was. And they found a card laying around, like at the service desk or something, which had, I don't remember what it said, but it was actually some pretty nasty sexual notes on there, and was signed Jeff.
Oh.
So they took me up and showed me the card, and I'm like, look, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
I would never, if even if I was doing something like that, I would never have left that around at all.
Right. There would be no evidence.
Right.
I wouldn't sign my name to it. Come on.
Fortunately, there was there was another Jeff who worked there too. And he was also gay, but I don't think he was out at all at the that work.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that it was him, and I don't know, I think I found out from I was in the gay.com chat room or something like that, and then I found out that he was gay. I'm like, great, thanks Jeff, you just got me into trouble. I don't think I was ended up being in trouble, because I was like, look, I didn't do that, that's not me at all. Right. And I think they believed me, but on that, so
good.
That was kind of an embarrassing experience. So all you fags, make sure that all your sexual stuff stays out of the workplace.
Yeah.
Whenever possible, you know, just keep it HR friendly. If you have a card which has some of this stuff on it, make sure you're giving it to the person that it's meant to be, in private, and preferably not while at work.
Amen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Alrighty.
So, anyways, that's my thing. Anyways. Moving on to feedback, we have a new like on Facebook by Dave Meaners. Thank you for liking us up. We had two more people join our Bear Underground group. That's Big Bear and Chlorhexicup, if I'm pronouncing that right. So thank you for joining us, the Bear Underground group. Feel free to join our Bear Underground group, and feel free to post whatever you want.
Yay!
I don't care what you say. Yeah.
Yay!
And maybe we'll talk about it in the show. So just remember that that stuff on there could be fodder for the show. So just keep that in mind. But we would love to see your conversations about whatever topics, and maybe some other topic that would be interesting to hear in the show. So like us up on Facebook, follow us on Google+, etc. With that, moving on into our topic. Apparently, there are 15 lessons I've learned from being fat and gay.
Yay.
Not I learned, somebody else to learn, but I'm sure they could be lessons that I could learn or something. I don't know. Anyways. So tell me about this. What's going
on? So there's this blog, and I want to give appropriate creds on another podcast. This was suggested as a topic. And they haven't discussed it yet, to my knowledge. And I asked the person that posted it to them as an idea if we could do it. And they said they didn't care. They thought that was interesting. So it's a Tumblr blog, but it's sometimes people make lists like, hey, here's some things that I've discovered or stand out to me or things that I've – reasons I like Batman. I don't know. Maybe just stuff. So in this case, this person felt moved that they should actually make a post about 15 personal lessons that they've learned about being fat and gay, which I think is interesting. Excuse me. So I thought maybe we would discuss what the 15 things are and what our reactions are to them.
Yes.
So does anybody want to take number one and list it?
Yeah. Gay culture is, in many ways, a meat market. Everyone is on display. Almost no one wants you on display. You will be reminded of this at regular intervals. Try not to let that get you down.
Hmm.
And that is so true. So true. Because yeah. I remember when I was in my 20s and, you know, I wasn't nearly, I didn't get really big until I was in my 30s. But, you know, even in my 20s, I was still quite a large individual. And if guys were not totally fascinated by the fact that I was 6'5" and, you know, weighed close to probably 300 pounds at the time, it was like, oh, my God, what is he doing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, who does he think he is? It was, you know, it's God. It's like, you know, so many movies out there could be just inform so many. If you watch Mean Girls, the plastics are gay men. I mean, we're not all that bad. But the thing is that there's enough of it out there to where if you're overweight and if you don't fit the, like, especially back in the 90s, if you did not fit the quote unquote type of gay man that was represented in the media, you were shit. And everybody made sure you knew it. It's a lot better now. It's a lot more diversified. Because we've got people of color, because we've got bears, we've got, you know, everything, you know, we've got people who don't fit that media representation. So that was my experience. Somebody want to take number two, or do we want to continue discussing one?
Well, one thing I want is what I think is more along lines on this. I think under gay culture means the more stereotyped gay culture. I think that's there's a separation between gay culture and bear culture.
True.
Although there are some crossovers, you know, it's a Venn diagram, but yeah, I'm sure there's definitely still people who wants some of the larger people on display. So that's where the crossover kind of comes in.
That was the thing I was going to say is I think it's a true statement on a general term, but I think now more than ever, I'm finding that there's a community, a population of individuals that like fat and hairy guys.
Well, yeah.
And I don't mean like that's the bear community. I mean that they may be in the bear community. They may be in the girth and mirth community or the chub community. They like fat and hairy guys, and they kind of put them on a pedestal, so to speak. Like, they find them beautiful and talk about them in such ways and post pictures and, you know, create comic book porn. I mean, like, it's out there. And that's the thing that I think is the most interesting in my journey of coming out to the bear community since about 99. Is that I never necessarily felt that before until probably the past 2 or 3 years. And maybe it's just my awareness, but I feel like if you feel that you don't necessarily fit in or that you're being put down or whatever, I agree. Don't let it get you down and just use the Google machine or Bing or whatever browser search thing you use. It's out there. Finding it is, you know, just a matter of seeking it out, I think, now.
Right.
Awesome.
Okay.
Number two. As a result, you will have learned that you are not attractive. You will have learned to distrust romantic or sexual advances of anyone skinnier than you. Do your best to unlearn these things.
Amen.
Ooh. This is true, because there are the chasers.
Well, yeah. And I've had that whole learn that you're not attractive portion. I'm like with Robert, I used to not be as big as I am now, and I'm slowly losing weight now and whatnot. But there was a time where I never considered myself attractive at all. And anyone who had any interest in me was an immediate wall. And it took me, I want to say, a year or two to really get past that.
Right.
The internet helped. The internet helped a lot. but that's one of those, like, those things that you just, that's what you do when you're not accepted automatically or immediately, you think it's you. And it's not just you. You know, you could, there are ways to make yourself unattractive, but sometimes it's a lot of those people around you or those things around you that are saying that you're unattractive that you just need to go, no, not true.
Right.
I'm fucking amazing.
I, for this one, at first I was like, well, this doesn't really apply to me. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, actually it does apply to me a lot because the last guy I dated is a runner.
Oh, right.
So he didn't have the most trim, you know, fit muscular body. You know, he had little curves about him, but he loves to run and lives a more athletic style. And compared to me, we were little Mutt and Jeff in a way. And I kind of had to relearn in my head, like, just because you look a certain way doesn't mean that you think you're attractive to a certain set of people. Like, you should just be open to the fact that anybody anywhere at any time can find you attractive.
Yeah. And I know for, you know, with me, it was sort of the same deal. I just kind of like anybody who was like, although I kind of felt like if guys were skinnier than me and they came up and like, oh, you're so beautiful. Up until, you know, a few years ago, it was like, okay, yeah, what do you want?
Exactly.
You know, I don't trust you entirely, so I'm going to keep you at arm's length. And, yep, you know, and the thing is, right, you have to unlearn that. You have to be able to say to people, I'm going to take you at face value until you prove me right, me wrong. And, you know, that's the reason why I've kind of started being like, now I've dated guys who were much skinnier than me, and I've dated guys who were bigger than me. Because now I can look at them and go, I'm taking you as an individual. I'm not taking you as somebody who I think you might be. So,
Very true.
Anybody else?
I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to number three. Ask people if it's a problem for them that you're fat before you meet them for sex and or dates. Not only will this mean that you don't have any repeat Soslaw, not interested anymore incidents, but also means that they have to admit it's their problem, not yours. Sorry, I was trying to do that in the voice of Baz Luhrmann from his Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen.
Yep.
That's what this feels like. Very serious little thing.
Yeah.
Dear Beck.
So, I think the first line is really interesting. Ask people if it's a problem for them that you're fat before you meet or have sex or dates. In today's visual age, I'm like, do you kind of have to tell them that? But I guess you do.
Well, not always. I mean, I know some of us are friends with Alan on Google Plus, and I think a couple of weeks ago, if not last week, he posted that. He, you know, he was still online, mentions in his profile that he's a fat, you know, a bear with a belly and all this stuff, and mentions all of this stuff. Yet he still gets those people that once they're, he's at the door.
Right.
That they've got that instant, like, oh my God, you're a big guy. And it's like, you know, I've told you like 20 times that I'm a.
Well, no, and that's the truth, because I know I've noticed on Bear411, like, I've got a full body shot. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, your profile says you're like 270. Yes. It's like, you can see the fact that I've got a belly. Doesn't matter what shirt I'm wearing. You can see the fact that I've got, you know, a weight on me. So, you know, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, what was your first, you know, it's like, why didn't you get this before? So, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that because I mean, there are still, I mean, my Bear411 profile, for example, I don't think I have major like pictures of full body. It's just, you know, usually head up. But, you know, one of my biggest concerns with the world is math. And if you say you're 5'9" or 5'11" and 200 and something pounds, and you don't mention that you go to the gym or you're active in any,
right,
you know, you're not physically active, you're probably not going to be small. Right. Or you're not going to be
muscular.
Yeah, you might be muscular, but you're but you know, that's the thing. It's you're going to have some kind of build or belly or
right,
some kind of,
well, you know, if you're 5'9 and 270, yes, you're going to, yeah, have a belly.
Yeah, you're going to be fat. I don't want to, yeah, say like, but you're going to be fat. And if you don't, if your mind can't process that, I feel sorry for you.
Well, no, it's not just necessarily feeling sorry for them, because the simple fact that some people just have those little delusions about themselves, yeah, you know, and everybody has little delusions about themselves. We don't always see ourselves for who we truly are. But, you know, that's because we need blinders to look at certain things. But, you know, so the thing is that, and the second part of the thing is that, what was it, number three? Yeah. If the person has a problem with you being fat, really, you shouldn't be going out on a date with them anyway.
Well, yeah.
That's just simple, you know, simple truth about it. So, you know, it's the whole, you know, if people aren't willing to look and pay attention to profiles, you know, and if you leave certain things off your profile that's part of your physical appearance, and you know this person is not going to like you because of that, there's a miscommunication. There's a disconnect there, and somebody needs to start talking, mm-hmm, you know, before you get into a place where you're like in public and this person walks up to you and goes, "Oh my God, you're fat."
Yeah.
And I've known people to do that.
Wow.
I never had it happen to me. I had it happen to a friend of mine, and it was like, because the guy literally looked at me and goes, "Oh my God, you're the size of a house."
Wow.
Like, rude.
Ouch. I go, "Did you throw your drink at him?" He goes, "No, but I let him know in no uncertain terms, was he getting a blowjob?" And I'm like, "Honey?" He goes, "What?" Anyway, it went into one of those conversations like, why do you do this to yourself? You know, this kind of thing. So anyway, but yeah, he was one of those guys. He was a big guy, but he loved little teeny tiny twinks.
Oh.
And I'm like, the problem with most twinks is that they like being around twinks.
Not always. Most. But anyway.
Twinks. Not, I, yeah. I said, yeah, well, most.
Here's what I want to say. The quick little label adjustment here. I think there really is two categories. There's twinks, but there's also chasers.
Right.
Or admirers, as some people would say. I think they're really two separate groups. So just because that they chubby guys looking for a thinner guy doesn't mean they're looking for twinks, but more of like the chaser admirer type of guy.
Well, this was back when we didn't know the bear community and that kind of stuff existed. This was back in the 90s. So for me, looking at him going, "Honey, you're chasing twinks," I didn't know that there were, I mean, I knew that there were guys out there that liked guys who were bigger, because I kind of knew of them, because I had a couple of guys, you know, hit me up for dates and that kind of stuff. And so I kind of knew it was out there, but I'm just like going, "What? Why are you chasing after these twig stick figures?"
Well, you know, be what he likes.
And it is, you know, he likes guys like that. So yeah, I do understand that there's two separate categories. There's twinks and chasers, but I didn't know that at the time. So therefore it was like, all skinny bitches are skinny bitches for a reason. They're underfed and they're hungry, you know, that kind of thing.
Something like that.
So, eat something.
Eat something, damn it. Okay, wow. On to number four.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Number four, if you don't already learn ways to find fat people attractive, do not find them attractive despite their fat. Find them attractive for and with their fat. And thus far, of everything I've read, I find this one the most confusing.
Yeah.
find something about a fat person you find attractive, but make sure it's the fat is what I'm getting out of this, and that just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, yeah, I think the wording's wrong, but I think it's the idea that you don't, it's like you might have a great personality and stuff, but the idea is that you don't really care about the fat thing. The fat thing is not a thing, and it's not despite. So it's like, well, I know you're fat, but at least you have this.
you have really great hair.
More of like acceptance of the fat than, well, if anything, at least. It's be like, hey, you're very attractive. I like your round curves.
But you know, it also seems to be alluding to the fact that perhaps fat people should be with just fat people.
Which, yeah.
No.
You know, there's plenty of that going around all on its own, but I don't think that's necessary.
See, and
you may be a big boy into big boys, Gary. But.
Well, I was just going to say, when I read it, if you don't, it says if you don't already learn ways to find fat people attractive, do not find them attractive, despite their fact. Which, when you stop there, I'm like, okay, so if you see a fat person and you don't, like, if you look at them and you're like, oh, they're really kind or they have beautiful eyes or whatever, then it says find them attractive for and with their fat, meaning don't focus on, like, don't remove the fact that they're a big person. Like, ignore it. Accept them as they are as a whole, period. Like, don't pick the parts that you want to find attractive, I guess, is kind of the way I took it. And I was like, well, that's pretty fair. But I think that you could swap out the word fat for anything. Like,
well, that's
hairy or skinny or blonde or whatever. So to me, I took it more as just accept them for everything of who they are and don't ignore some things, especially obvious things. Like in this case, we're talking about a body, a bigger body. And I think some people might think, oh, but you know, he's so good, he's funny and he has a good personality and blah blah blah, and yeah, I know he's big, but he can probably go on a diet and lose weight. And it's like, that's kind of making a personal judgment against someone that really gets to make the choice, not you. But yeah, that's just kind of the way I saw it.
I'm pretty much along the line too.
Okay.
Moving on, number five wants to take number five.
So it says, when a boy tells you that you are, quote, interesting, he usually means one of the following. He thinks you're an interesting person and would like to get to know you better. Or he thinks you're an interesting challenge and he hasn't figured out how to conquer you yet. Avoid the latter. He will not make you feel any better.
I can't believe latter. I've never had that experience myself of somebody saying, you're interesting. I really want to fuck with your head and conquer you. That's not something I've come across personally.
Does anybody
have?
I'm okay.
I was in college and it was this guy and he basically made it his mission, I guess, to figure out how to get inside my kind of protective shield that I had thrown up against him. Because I knew he was a bullshit artist. I mean, I could smell it from a mile away. And I, in no uncertain terms, was going to let him get anywhere near me. Oh. And he really did. He's like, oh, you're really nice and really sweet. And, you know, I think you're really cute. And I'm like going, yeah, why is every picture I see of you and a guy like totally not me or not even remotely looking like me?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and I even called him on it. It started as one of those, like, we were introduced by mutual friends, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, you seem like really, we had the same kind of interest, you know, comic books and video games and that kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, he goes, you're really sweet. And I just, everything he kind of told me about himself kind of rang hollow. So it was kind of one of those like, okay, I'm going to keep you at arm's length and see where this goes. And yeah, it just kind of was like, and finally I was just like, you know what? I left school. So we stopped talking to each other. This is in the days before Facebook. So for me, it was kind of like we've lost contact, and I'm kind of glad we lost contact.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I was kind of sick of, you know, kind of going, fending off fake advances. It's like, no, I know the type of men you date, and I'm not that type. You know, and by that time, he was starting to date sugar daddies.
Oh, goody. Like,
so choice. What? I'm just like another mountain to climb, literally. So, yeah, it was just like, I've run into that. And, you know, he's right. The thing is, is that guys like that, you don't learn
anything from.
You don't learn anything from them. You learn more about yourself.
Yeah.
With relationships like that. Because the simple fact that the guy basically forces you to go, okay, what is it about me that, or hopefully you would learn, what is it about me that attracts guys like that to me? You know, versus what attracts me to guys like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, being the whole victim mentality and, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. But guys like that, you learn more about yourself than you learn about them.
Yeah. Because
they're an asshole and they're always going to be an asshole. You know, they might get older, might get nicer. They might change the way they dress. They might, you know, change the way they date. But they're still an asshole. So, but yeah, I've run across guys like that. And they don't make you feel better, but they do help you learn things.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes better. So.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Anybody else?
Okay. No. All right.
Okay.
I'll take number six.
Okay.
Get rid of what you have learned as masculine. It is not helpful to you, nor is it helpful to anyone around you. Personally, I've learned this to be very true. Uh-huh. I've never fully considered myself masculine in the sense that what I've learned to be masculine is, you know, that definitely not me. I'll just go ahead and put it like that. But I have started to get rid of some of those things because I don't like the term masculine, and those people who use the term masculine in like profiles or Facebook pages or ads that they're, you know, looking for sex or whatever, I immediately tune those out because
right.
you're wanting something I think that does not exist.
Right. They're looking for, you know, you're right.
Yeah. And like I said, would I consider myself masculine? Not really. The only reason I would consider myself masculine is because I'm a male.
Right.
So, but anyway.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of the opposite here. I never had associations with masculinity being what most people would call macho, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up overseas on military bases, and I was around a very macho culture. But the men I knew who were in it were not involved in it at all, and I kind of took my lead from them. So for me, masculinity has always been about being comfortable being male. And I don't know. This seems like one of those genderqueer statements that you see a lot right now, as there's this huge movement to rewrite masculinity and femininity all together and turn it into androgyny again.
Yeah.
It's all cool. I'm perfectly fine with it, but I think there's nothing wrong with being masculine. I think that what you may have in your head for it may be different than anybody else's versions. But I don't know. I have no problems with masculinity. For me, masculinity is one of those quiet things that doesn't need to push itself forward.
Mm.
So I don't know. I'm not meaning to be the negative Nancy here, but.
Well, for all intents and purposes, I think that this one, as well as number seven, which I'll read right now, find and or create a version of masculinity that will not only help you, but also help those around you.
Yeah.
So basically saying, look, what you've just kind of instinctively got about masculinity, you know, wipe your slate clean about that and start over and really look into to find out what masculinity really is that helps everyone, you know, how you know makes you feel masculine and shows others about masculinity that just kind of evens everything out or something. I don't know what the how to really describe that part, but so basically six is saying wipe your slate clean, seven is about bringing it up. So in some sense, that really should just be one right. item, I think.
Well, yes and no.
I think it's interesting, and I think Jeff has a good point that, you know, maybe that it all kind of flows together. I took six as, I think it was a bit harsh. I didn't like the idea of get rid of what you've learned as masculine. I'm like, no, I think you should retain that, but I think you should just be more open to broaden and realize that whatever you think you know as masculinity, there's far more options.
Well, here's a question for everybody. I definitely identify as masculine, but I also definitely identify as a feminist. And I think they may be, I almost feel like this is one of those things where they feel that if you're masculine, you're anti-feminist. And that they're trying to push you to rebuild into a more pro-feminist image. And, you know, anybody who's a feminist will tell you they believe that for the betterment of men and women, feminism works best because you can't really treat either sex equally without treating both sexes equally, you sure. know? Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like they're trying to get to that without stating that.
Right.
Well, I mean, being a feminist doesn't necessarily mean you can't be masculine.
Right.
Because feminism is more about, you know, up with women. It's not necessarily... I'm a woman. I'm feminine. You just, well, and, you know, you're just for that feministic sort of style. Maybe not. It may not be you specifically, but you know, women and every saying women and even effeminate men. There's no problem. They're all great.
I think that goes to sort of the divide that we're kind of seeing now between the feminist movement and also men not having traditionally masculine roles. Mm. And so the thing is that there's a big divide coming up now between women who are younger and in the feminist movement and older feminists where they say, well, men can't be feminists.
Mm.
And younger women are, excuse me, younger women are going, but they can. And men are going, and young men are going, but we can and we want to be. Mm. And I know for me personally, I was raised by two women who had very differing viewpoints of this. My mother is a traditionalist. Get married, have babies, be a stay-at-home mom, that kind of thing. My aunt and my sister are both feminists. And so for me growing up, I knew that those two worlds existed and I always felt myself being drawn towards the feminist. I'm like, I don't understand why we can't all just be equal. And so for me, it was never a question. I was always a feminist, even from a young age. As far as masculinity was concerned, I grew up in a household where men worked on cars and built things and very masculine identified roles. So I grew up knowing I was male. I grew up knowing I was masculine. So for me, unlearning that was never part of the process for me. I also knew that being a feminist was not something I had to learn to be. So six and seven for me are kind of confusing.
Mm.
Like there's people that, you know, it's not like that there's people that don't believe that women should be equal. I know there are people out there who don't believe that women should be equal. Mm. But the thing is that for me, it's kind of like I'm with Gary. I'm like, I don't have to unlearn to be masculine, just like I don't have to learn to be feminine or be a feminist. I have both of those within me. So I am large and contain multitudes. sorry, one of my favorite quotes. But the thing is that so for me, it's just like I've created a version of masculinity that works for me. And yes, I am masculine. And yes, I enjoy being masculine and I enjoy being feminine. I enjoy doing my, hey girl, I enjoy that. I totally enjoy that. I am not ashamed to admit that I have a fabulous little queen buried somewhere deep inside of me.
Nice.
I think that that's actually what the bear community taught me is, strangely, which is something I guess I've carried a torch for, when some people kind of bristle about men queening out or being effeminate in whatever way you want to define that in the bear community. And I'm like, nope, sorry. I'm like, that's not what this is about. This is about just accepting the person for who they are, not getting into the label and the judging and that kind of stuff. Like, that's not what this is. It's not what the community should be. So I think, yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
Okay, I'll take 8. You will have learned homophobia. Unlearn it as soon as possible. It will not make you feel any better, even if it does let you feel superior.
That would be the one. Because it's like,
I don't understand.
You're a straight guy, and you're going to be...
Well, I think what I'm getting from it is the whole idea that, oh, you're a homophobe, and that means I don't have to talk to you, I don't have to listen to you, you're bigoted and whatnot, and your opinion does not matter. Right. And that's that whole feeling superior kind of portion of it. I don't think you should unlearn homophobia, or at least in the sense that you should not be afraid to be gay. If that's kind of what homophobia might be, or fear of homosexuals. I get that you should probably unlearn that, but I still think you should recognize that homophobia exists.
Right.
And understand and look for the warning signs. You know?
See, for me, that question completely makes no sense. I'm not, I'm like, no, you have to understand what homophobia is. You have to know what it is. You may not necessarily need to see signs of it, in your day-to-day life. But the thing is that you should know what it is, because then you can speak to it. There have been studies done that people who know someone who is gay or lesbian, transgender, bisexual, it increases your ability to accept them and accept people in general. Once you know that someone in your life, in your personal life, is gay or lesbian or whatever, it increases your ability to accept that. I don't understand why you have to unlearn what homophobia is. Granted, knowing what homophobia is not going to make you happy. In fact, it's probably going to piss you off.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you cannot – it's not that you cannot function without knowing what it is. You have to know what it is in order to be able to speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
And avoiding that topic is going to make you incredibly unhappy.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to treat you really bad, and it's going to make life that much worse. So, sorry.
I think the end does sound confusing. Or read confusing. Like, yes, you're going to have learned homophobia. You should get rid of it. And the last part, even if it does let you feel superior, I think what I took from it was the aspect of feeling judgmental over others or presumptions about another subset of people. Like, even within the gay community, you wouldn't call it homophobia, but there's like transphobia. I guess, maybe lesbian phobia. I don't know what that would be called.
There's certainly vaginal phobia.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, that's true. Oh, yeah. Mammary phobia, maybe? I don't know. But there's definitely some definitive stuff. And, like, I mean, I was in a men's bare leather bar last night with my best friend, who is a lesbian, happily in a long-term relationship. And I didn't tell a lot of people that it was a she. Like, I specifically left that out of a lot of the conversation leading up to that I was going to meet my best friend for dinner. We're going out to the bar. And I'd be curious to circle back around and talk with her later and be like, hey, did you feel out of sorts or out of place? Because I was paying attention to the people around us and the guys and how some guys like would walk out to the patio where we were, which I thought was more polite of us to be in a space that's not a primary social space.
Mm-hmm.
Like internally where the bar and the booze and, you know, the jukebox and all this stuff is. So, but I noticed some guys would walk out and they would take a look and they'd kind of look because she looks like a boy, so to speak. And she's a little larger in size. So I kept paying attention to the fact that, like, it's not like she has, you know, a big chest. So it's quite obvious. But I think some guys kind of figured out, like, that's a woman or heard her talk or whatever and then, like, left the patio. So right. I don't know if they were being, you know, lesbian phobic or woman phobic or whatever. But, you know, part of me is like, get over it. Like, learn to accept it, kids. Like, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I made a joke with her, which is the truth and quite funny. 6 years ago, that was a lesbian bar. So, like, the worst part is it's like, you know, we started going there when the first floor was the lesbian floor, like the lesbian bar. And then the basement was the men's. And then another bar had opened and the lesbian community started transitioning and moving to this other bar. And now there's like one bar owned by a straight couple and they're great. And I absolutely love them. Shout out to Frank and Renee. They run a great business and that's where all the women choose to go now. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And so
I thought it was really kind of funny how when like I'm like I told her, I said, hey, if we, you know, it'd been 6 years ago, you probably would have been a head turner for all, because the whole first floor would have been women and they all would have been like, well, check that action out. So, you know, it just experiencing that last night was kind of interesting because that's where I took it as is like, even though you think you get over homophobia, don't let that feeling of superiority carry through in other ways. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
like you're better than trans right. individuals or whatever. But
exactly. Alrighty. Huh.
I think number nine's really mean.
Yeah, I'll take nine. Interesting. Do not hate skinny people for the quote crime of being skinny. This is not helpful to you or anyone around you. Not only is it kind of dickish, but it will reinforce the idea that only certain kinds of bodies are acceptable. You do not need that idea.
Skinny Amen. Bitches. Okay, so shit. Yeah, I don't do that, and I actually find it hilarious that this is on here. But I've seen that before. You know, we have those bears in our community that do not like the skinny people and are very adamant about them, even though they're a part of our freaking community, and they're chasers, and they love us, and we should love them. Now, I may not particularly prefer skinnier guys, but I'm not gonna hate on them. At least not hate on them in a sense of hate, like not liking. Now I will
because
have
of who, because of who they are. Not
yeah.
If you're gonna hate on them, you're gonna hate on them because of what they are.
Yeah,
or not what
yeah.
they are, but you know who would you know of them
and whatnot. And yeah, also, I will make my jokes, my skinny bitches comment kind of thing. You know, I will have my joking fun with them. But to me, I guess that's the joke. But I know that some people may not like that and may actually find that offensive. So you know, but yeah, it is a dick move if you don't like the skinny guys because guess what, you know they're a part of our community and they're usually pretty awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really fucking awesome in bed. Just putting that out there.
Well.
Just saying.
I think Damon's going to have to explain that to us one day. But, you know.
Yeah, not that.
For brevity's sake.
It was a good time. And it was an unexpected good time. And it was me taking a chance on someone that I'm not usually interested in and having a really great time with them.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes the skinny people are nice because they're more flexible.
Comment on that one.
Although there are some really flexible, bigger guys. I'll tell you that.
Truth.
You can't see, but I'm raising my hand.
Don't you mean raising your day? Foot?
What was that? Oh, funny, Gary. Funny.
Well, you know. Yeah, I mean, I have to agree that, and I'm probably guilty of this. I've been accused of this in the past. And then, of course, I always had to take a step back and think about it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about being judgmental, period. Because yeah. I can take the word skinny and replace it with old or older.
Right.
And that is one of my biggest pet peeves in the community, is I get really pissy when younger individuals like diss older people who strike them up in conversation, maybe, you know, make a move or hit on them or whatever. It kind of fries me. And I've actually said to some young people or people around my age who, like, you know, I can't believe that, you know, that troll or whatever. And I look at them and I'm like, honey, you are going to be that age one day. So you best feel good if you are lucky that someone will give you the time of day.
Don't start.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I don't like saying that, but I feel like I have to be defensive of that, because it's like, guess what's happening? You're getting old. Like, each second is passing, which turns into a minute, which turns into hours, which turns into days and weeks and months and years. And before you know it, you're going to be double your damn age. So get with the program.
There are certain things that, you know, you can change. There are things that can change. If you're skinny, you may not always be skinny. If you're fat, you may not always be fat. If you're young, you are not going to always be young.
Yeah, exactly. And
those things, like, you need to realize that people can change that. There are things that people can't change. There are personality traits that people think they can change, but they don't always change. I'll leave it at that.
Exactly.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
So, number 10, contrary to what you believe, at some point you will probably be approached for sex. Try to distinguish between the boys who will treat you like human beings with feelings and the boys who will treat you like a talking dildo / flashjack. The latter will not make you feel any better.
That's true.
Afterwards.
I'll get back to you as soon as it happens.
But I have mixed feelings about this one.
Uh-oh.
Because sometimes that's the relationship of the people you trick with, is it's basically you're both basically just trying to get off.
Well, but the thing is you also have to learn the difference between the two.
True. I suppose that's really what it is.
Yeah. You know, and
I try to distinguish between the boys.
Yeah. You have to learn to distinguish between the two. And that's, I think that's what I'm getting from this, is that you have to learn to, it's like, if that's just what you want, if you are just looking for a dildo or a flashjack, walking, talking, breathing flashjack, then, you know, by all means, go for it. If you're looking for somebody who's going to treat you with kindness and love and who's potentially a mate for you, then do that. But I think you have to learn that distinction. And that's one thing that sometimes bigger boys might have a problem learning, is that we think everybody's going to come to us and want to be our friends because that's the kind of community we're in, when all they're really looking for is a quick fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially not so much younger guys, but I've noticed, like, myself, that was a lesson that took me a long time to learn, was like that whole, like, oh my God, you know, he's so nice and he's into me. Oh my God, we're going to have babies and live together forever. No, he really just wanted to get off, Robert. But the thing is that's an important distinction, but you have to learn that pretty much no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
You know, those people who are going to be true and genuine to you versus those people who are just going to be with you so long as they can get something out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's an important lesson to learn, though.
Yep.
Well, out of you or into you?
Depends on the position.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Just checking.
Alrighty.
Okay. All right. Number 11. What's this one?
I'll take it. Unfortunately, some other fat men will reject you on account of your weight. Fortunately, this is their problem, not yours.
Exactly.
I think that pretty much sums it up. So I'm not even sure if we need a discussion.
Number
12?
Yeah. Hey, the fuck, man.
Yes. And it goes both ways.
Right.
Yeah. There are some fat guys that will reject you because you're not fat enough.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
They're fat guys, but you're too fat.
Yeah,
I think the bigger theme, you could put it on any way that you want, but the bigger theme is just because someone rejects you doesn't mean it's your problem. It's theirs. Yeah. It's not, you're not compatible, and move on. Don't worry about it. And this is one that I had to learn, I don't know how many times over and over again, until it finally got through in my head. Like, just because you're interested in a guy and he's not interested in you doesn't mean that you're not a beautiful person, that you're not hot, that you're not fun to be with. Like, no. It's just that they're not interested in you. Let it go.
Right.
Yeah. Alrighty. Number 12.
So it says, you will meet people who immediately set off alarm bells in your head. It is perfectly acceptable to avoid those people.
Yes.
Yes. Can I you get got that amen? Right. Another one. We're just like, let's go on.
Moving on. At least it's something that's more, you know, kind of straightforward and makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Listen to your gut, which is really what this is about. And if it says the person's cray cray, maybe they are. And maybe you should just walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
I have met some very, it's. I it's weird sometimes because there are very few things that like immediately set my alarms off, and I know the moment when it happens and I go, okay, I'm going to step away now. Have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Exactly.
Enjoy the rest of your stay. leave me the fuck alone.
Right.
And you're not going to match.
That's sort of true with anybody. It's like there are people that are going to come into your life and you're going to look at them and go, you are a hot mess.
Yeah.
And I need to not ever. I'm dealing with one right now. He's very sweet. And we have some issues where we kind of align sexually. But he's into things that are like, hun, I've done a lot of things. What you're asking me to do could potentially be illegal. Okay. So let's, and I want to go, and I've kind of said, look, this kind of makes me uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable kind of talking about this, taking this where you want to take it. Can we kind of step back from the ledge? And he'll step back for like a minute or two. And it's like, oh, and then he just kind of pushes forward. I'm like, no, you don't, you're not hearing me. Okay. So, but no, yeah, that's just true of anybody. Like if there's an alarm bell going off in your head, hun,
listen.
Just listen, avoid it at all costs.
Alrighty. Unless you choose to go that route and then maybe you'll learn your lesson.
Oh yeah, you'll learn the lesson, all right. Oh yeah.
So number 13, you know what it feels like to be oppressed, both on account of your weight and your sexuality. Use this experience to foster empathy for others who are oppressed. Remember that some people have it worse than you. Do not continue the oppression of others. Make the lives of oppressed people better. I think we've kind of discussed this a bit earlier with the homophobia part.
Right.
You know, it's true, you know, understand that there are people out there that have had it worse than you. The one thing that there are other phobias and instant like things where you go, okay, we don't want to be around that.
Right.
And that I understand, but still. The alarm bells I get, but you know, at least try to be friendly. Don't be a dick. Right. You know, let them down gracefully. Respect them as if someone did the same thing to you.
Right.
This is one of those things that I don't get how it took him becoming fat and gay to learn this.
Well,
I mean, no offense to the gay. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. But this is one of those things that I was taught by my parents around 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I mean, same. If it takes us to learn it, great. But this may not be something you need to learn necessarily because you're fat and gay.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes this lesson's a little difficult for some people to learn because they don't, especially because I know it's like I grew up in middle America, you know, a suburb, you know, trees, you know, nice houses. Everybody had a, you know, nice job. I didn't grow up being oppressed and I didn't grow up feeling bad because I was fat either. Mm. So, I mean, I was lucky as I was kind of had blinders on to a lot of that. Yeah. So the only way I could have ever felt oppressed was because I was gay. And so for me, learning to help people who were feeling oppressed or who had been oppressed themselves was kind of something I had to learn to do. Because for me, it was always like, well, that never happened to me, so it doesn't affect me. And that was, I spent a majority of my teen years in my early 20s kind of feeling, well, that doesn't bother me, so why should I worry about it? But that, I think, was also more because of youth, not necessarily because I wasn't brought up to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is that some people, they don't learn that because it's not, it's the whole, you know, a white male syndrome where, you know, where you don't learn that because you're not affected by it. Mm. Once you're affected by it, you learn to deal with it or you learn to ignore it. Either way, you learn to function with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's that for me, that was like I had to learn to realize that it was a kind of oppression. Yeah. And that people wanted to put me in some place that I wasn't comfortable being in and then learn to deal with it and figure out how I was going to deal with it and them and then learn to deal with it with other people, see how it affected others around me. So they got like fat shaming and all that kind of stuff. So,
yep.
You know, you learn to deal with that. So, okay. We moving on or anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay. 14. Big lesson for me to learn. Big lesson. Be kind to yourself. This does not mean you can't, or this does not mean you can be self-indulgent. It does mean that you are perfectly entitled to do things that will make you feel better and keep you functioning.
A to the fucking man.
I'm a little troubled by the word functioning, but, you know.
Well,
functioning, I think for me, well, no, the thing is that functioning for me means that you've gone through and you're doing the absolute bare minimum you can to keep yourself going.
Mm.
Whereas the first part of it is like, no, be kind to yourself. Forgive yourself those things that you see that make you unhappy. And the last part is like, but just do enough to get along. It's like,
Okay. I think the keep you functioning is more of something like if you're a little overstressed, you know,
right.
Massage or, you know,
bowl of mashed potatoes.
Give yourself a little treat. You know, yeah. As he said, don't be self-indulgent. So I think he basically means don't overdo it. But, right. You know, occasionally, you know, treat yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
have a candy bar.
You know, take a day off from work. Just take a day off. You know, no reason. Just take it off.
A mental health day. Give it,
yeah. So, I mean, it's about just doing stuff for yourself to make sure that you're, you know, nothing's kind of blocking your functioning. Like when this whole move thing first started for me, I was feeling sick that day when I was trying to figure everything out. And I was half panicking myself to death. And I was still kind of frustrated. And the next day I mentioned something about it on Facebook. And my dad says to me, just remember what your grandpa said. Easy does it. And for some reason, just when he said that, I relaxed myself. And I'm like, he's right. You know, take it easy. You're fine. And I mean, I got the place to live. You know, things were moving along. I just need to stop stressing. Like, you don't want to move me. Because I'm probably the most stressed, most cranky person when it comes to moving. So I kind of pity Jamaica and Chuck, who will be helping me with my move on Tuesday. But I'm going to try to use those words and you know, take it easy. And then I have a couple days off. And during that time, especially on Thursday, which is my birthday, by the way.
Shameless plug.
I'm totally taking it off and probably going to get laid.
Awesome.
So
fantastic.
Yeah. So I'll be. So, you know, I'm treating myself. I'm not going overboard or anything. You know, it's not like I'm going to be like having, you know, a revolving door or anything through the entire day.
Mm-hmm. Have your fun.
Which is not bad.
I'm just going to have one guy over. And actually, the last couple of sessions we've had, me and this guy, have been fantastic.
So there you go. Enjoy.
Okay, now I'm jealous.
There's nothing like eating it. Nothing like eating a big black ass.
Oh, anyways. Anywho.
Anyways, he's a fun guy. Anyways.
All right. 15. We've reached the end of the list. Yay. Your weight does not affect whether or not you deserve acceptance and respect.
Okay. Once again, A to the fucking man. yes, because you know what, and this is one of my personal things. There are very few people in the world that don't deserve my respect, and those who know they don't deserve my respect will know they don't deserve my respect. Acceptance, yeah, I same thing, you know. But you don't. It's not because you're fat. It's because you're a human being.
Right.
Because your attitude.
Yeah, your attitude is why I will not accept you and will reject you.
There's plenty of fat guys I hate. There's plenty of skinny guys I hate, and vice versa. There are plenty of skinny guys I absolutely adore. There's plenty of fat guys I absolutely adore. More on the fat guy side, but you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are plenty of the guys that don't like me or don't want to be around me and don't respect or accept me.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck them.
Exactly.
All right. So okay. That's the list. So I hope you enjoyed.
Okay.
So that's what we say. So moving on, let's do this.
Alrighty.
I want a pina colada now.
Oh, I hate pina coladas.
But moving on.
Guinness Colossus?
Rum punch?
Maybe. Anyway.
Okay. Ooh, a daiquiri. Gary. Strawberry.
Gary. Strawberry daiquiri. That wouldn't be too bad. Anyways, Gary, what do you got for us?
I have... I have a very beautiful gentleman. It doesn't really have a title, so I gave it a title. I called it Beautiful View in Bed. And what I've realized is that if you ask for things in life and you believe that words have power and that they will manifest and come true, I hereby say this is what I want to see every time I walk into my bedroom. Now, I realize that that's kind of impossible because he'd have to like probably be permanently in the bed, and that's not a fun life to live.
No.
So, however, this is a gentleman who is face down, naked,
ass up.
I don't know if his ass is really up. It kind of looks up, but I'm not really sure. But he is big and chunky and furry, and just I think it's very inviting and begging for
a tongue, a dick,
appreciation.
Yeah.
Just delicious. Damn right. Fine. So that's my thing. That's what I tumbled this week.
And speaking of ass, I titled mine Moon in a Hammock. And it's just this guy. It's yet another inviting position and pose, I mean, and face even. Older gentleman with his boots on, hanging in a hammock, nude. His back is to it. Well, his back is up, so you get to see this nice little butt there. And it is quite the invitation. And I would accept your invitation. I will gladly accept
it. In all fairness, I have to admit, I know this man. Online. Nice. We have not met in person. He lives miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from me. But actually, I haven't talked to him in a while. But when I posted it, I was like, oh, hey. Yeah.
Yeah, that is just very, very inviting. I think it would be awkward doing it in a hammock. But you know what? I would be willing to give it the old college try.
See, David and I look at this from two different directions because I'm too busy thinking about the fact because he's ass up, belly down, and he's on a rope hammock, so it has like lots of negative. Is it negative space? Anyways, yeah. Like there's lots of holes in it basically. And my thought is, you put a blanket down underneath that, and then I'm under the hammock. So that's
You're taking care of the other side.
Well, that's just two different positions. That's the only thing.
We will work that out, Gary. You can be on the ground. I'll be in the hammock. It'll all be a good fucking time. There we go.
Anyways.
That said, Robert.
Okay. I have had a huge crush on this man since God knows when. It's Mr. Zach Spears. And I titled this, let's see, I want this man, I want to fuck him and take it, longtime porn crush. He was hot back in the, I'm not joking, early 90s when he started. And he has grown into a gorgeous individual, and I've had friends who are in the industry who said he's really sweet, very humble. Zach Spears, and he's not even fully naked. You just see, I know in the original shot he was fully naked, but like you just see from like right about where his cock would start up to the beautiful top of his bald head. And does this man know how to take a dick? I mean,
and Siri? Give a dick, actually.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I mean, I don't care which side of that equation I'm on. I just want to be in that equation somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, he's just. Mm. Okay, so moving on before Robert throws a bone.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So mine, I just named the guy Dirk Grizzly. It's just another picture of him because I think he's absolutely hot.
So. Oh, come on.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah. The link didn't work for me.
Aww.
Is that working?
Hold on.
The link should work. Work for me.
Aww.
It works. Maybe not for Damon, but it works.
Boo. Hold on. Let's copy and paste real quick. Let's see if that works. Anywho, continue.
Mr. Eric.
I know who Dark Grizzly is.
Okay, my pick this week is a photo from Nourish Your Turtle Heart. He's just adorable. And this is one of those traditional guy with iPhone pics. He does a ton of almost naughty pictures. I mean, they're not suitable for work, but, you know, he doesn't show off his junk. But he is adorable. His blog is hilarious, too, and well worth checking out. So,
nice.
I have to Yeah, the word adorable is actually very appropriate for this selfie with a smirk and a towel carefully placed pose, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, it's adorbs. He's adorable. Am I following you?
He makes me. Yeah, he makes you want to stalk him a little bit.
Yeah, he's adorable. That's a good word.
Oh, it's like I want to paste my babies all over his face and then wake up on them in the morning and make him breakfast.
Well, the more you watch his stuff, he is just hilariously. He's got a great attitude about his body, and he's very cheesy, and of course, anybody who knows me knows I'm extremely cheesy, so that's just an immediate turn-off.
Wow. 25,000 posts on his Tumblr. That's sweet. A hell of a lot of posts.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
I love his, like, this. Like, I'm not going to show you my dick, but I'm, like, this close to doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
we got to leave him wanting.
Yes. Cheesy.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Alrighty.
Okay. He's definitely earned a follow.
I think that's all our tumblers.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, now
moving on to links.
Yeah.
All right. So I've wanted to talk about this for weeks. I'm finally getting to it. My pick for links is Comedy Central took what was done online, I guess, and then turned it into an actual series on television called Drunk History. And I think this is some of the funniest shit I've seen in a while, despite it's stupid. And what I actually find more funny is not the stuff that's meant to be funny. It's the stuff in between. To give everybody an understanding, they say that to explain that it's a half hour series of historical reenactments by A-list talent that are presented by inebriated storytellers. And that basically drunk people are often incoherent and they're narrating our nation's history. So host Derek Waters, along with an ever-changing cast of actors and comedians, travel from town to town across our country, presenting the rich history of said city, both great and small. Booze brings out the truth of our nation's history. Sometimes that truth involves hitting on an airport janitor or eating cheese fries at 4 a.m. Uh-huh. Notoriously, in every episode, one, if not more than one narrator, because it's like four or five little stories within each half hour segment, they talk about something in history and the people are obliterated. I don't mean like buzzed, like they fall off chairs. They normally end up on the ground of the floor of wherever they are telling their story. Some of them half of the time throw up while telling the story, God. Which it may not be good for people who get a little queasy about that. What's hysterical is they have all these actors and comedians reenacting the story being told, and they're lip syncing to the narrator. So like one of the most recent ones I watched was Winona Ryder for the Salem witch trial type scenario, like telling people to fuck off.
And,
like, God. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And the parts that I find the most hysterical usually are when the person that narrates is the one that like can't stand up, is incoherent. Like, in the latest one, the narrator mooned the cameras while telling the story.
Nice.
It's kind of crazy. So that is my recommendation. If you have a chance, it's on Hulu Plus. You can watch it there and look. So I suggest you check them out because I think it's some funny shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to look at that because it sounds completely awesome. So anyway, mine is keeping in the comedy theme. I was online and somebody posted on Reddit this video, which I had forgotten that Mad TV had done this way back in the day.
Oh yeah.
I knew it and I remember seeing it and I've seen it a couple of times online, and it's a football thing and it's Ike Barinholtz, who I always had a little bit of a crush on. Had more of a crush on Will Sasso, continuing from the Will Sasso theme from last week.
or yeah, the last podcast. And so, but yeah, it's just, it's two guys watching football and hilarity ensues. And it is quite, I mean, I remember sitting there laughing, going, oh my God, this is so freaking funny, and going, why do I feel like a tightness in my pants? Oh no, that's wrong, because by the time Mad TV was on, I was in college, so I still felt the tightness, but I knew exactly what was going on. Also, Mad TV, thank you for introducing me to Corky and the Juice Pigs. I know, completely random, but they're three fabulous men who did little bits of music on the show, and they were amazing. I think they broke up like a few years ago, but it's just like, yeah, they're awesome. They had a big hit called Pants. Yeah.
So in relation to that, since you were mentioning Mad TV, my little thing is my guilty pleasure Mad TV was Cabana Chat.
Oh, God, yes.
Dixie
Wexworth.
Oh, my God. That's all I'm going to say.
And what's her name? Did Darlene Love? Oh, God, the blonde. Nicole something.
Okay.
Nicole Sullivan. Yes, yeah. She did this character called Darlene Love, who was the most racist asshole on the face of the planet, and put out music as such, and had hair. I mean, there's a Southern saying, the higher the hair, the closer to God.
Yeah.
Firmly believe that. She firmly believed that. Anyway. So, Eric.
Mine is from the beard championships, in this case, Ultimate Beard Champion. And I just love this because this is a send-up of Keisha's Milkshake song by one of these beard champions who is washing a car all wet and soapy and sexy with his beard. And it's just quite a bit of entertainment to watch.
Oh, no.
The close second was my Star Trek Season 4 Blu-rays I got yesterday, but no, I went with the beard.
Yes.
As you should.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, my God.
You know, honestly, Ed, there's probably somebody out there who's done this, but the Paris Hilton commercial from Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
Like, just a guy with a big beard. That just seems like...
Actually, your post actually reminded me of this. There's a theater company here in Cincinnati called No Theater, and they had Doug Scout doing this. They were trying to raise money, and this was one of the ways they were kind of doing it. And Doug Scout was raising money, and they did a car wash, and you have to skip a bit to get to the part, but yeah, it's Doug is a very fun guy. I want to say very heterosexual, and that's actually what just popped in my head. So, but he's just been, I've known him for years, and he's just this hilarious guy. And when they put these things out here a couple of years ago, it was hilarious. So, and there are a whole bunch of different ones, but yeah, this one in particular, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we got plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email, cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Facebook and facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus and gplus.2/cubsoutloud. Please join our Bear Underground group. Also, pop over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and also thumbs us up on Stitcher Radio. That's another way to listen to us. Find me anywhere on the internets as BoxTech, Box something.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear 401 or Bear Underground, and also on Tumblr.
And you can reach me as GamerBear on Bigger City or as Eric Patton on G+ or anywhere else in the real world.
And I'm primarily... Sorry, Eric. I'm primarily found as GamerBear73 on the web if I want to be found that way.
Nice.
And I'm pretty much known everywhere as Robbie Bobby, except for where it's important.
Nice. In the sack.
Well, with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Hi.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye. Bye.